thanks for coming today. Hey, we had a Thanksgiving feed this week, and many of you served. And Rob Rizzo did a phenomenal job organizing that army, and it was really fun to watch that. Also, as Chad mentioned earlier, Christmas Carol is coming this weekend, and I'm so very thankful. It's such a great way to start our Christmas season, and this play is excellent. Casey Long has taken the Dickens Christmas Carol and wrapped around it a gospel message. And it's incredibly creative. The acting is incredible. The music is incredible. The story is moving. And I'm also loving how I'm seeing some of our church members respond to it. Like one of our church members is having a staff Christmas party around the Christmas Carol. So he's got tables for his whole office. And it's also a good opportunity for families and friends to get together. It's a good date night. So, hey, I hope this weekend you think about coming to a Christmas Carol. It's going to be really, really good. Now, you know, this morning we're in John chapter 1. I want you to turn to John 1. We have been all year long walking through the Gospel of John. And as we've walked through this Gospel, we finished it last week, but the Christmas season for us is going to be this rewind to John chapter 1. At the beginning of this this book, thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. At the beginning of this book that we've studied, I preached one message on John 1, 1 through 18. That's a one way to look at this part of the Gospel of John. But I've been really excited about the Christmas season because there's so much theology, so much revelation in John 1, 1 through 18. And it really helps us to think through this part of John throughout the Christmas season. Now, I don't know if you consider yourself a theologian. I've been asking people this week, hey, are you a theologian? And when I've asked people that question this week, they thought, well, I'm not a theologian. How would you respond to that question? Are you a theologian? You know, we have our fourth and fifth graders here. Hey, guys. We're so glad that you're with us today. They come once a month to get used to big church, big people church. But I'm not as cool as Amber, but I'm thankful that you're here. So thanks for coming. But even our fourth and fifth graders, do you know that they're theologians? You're a theologian. Now, what is theology? What does it mean to be a theologian? Theology is the study of God. And the truth is everyone is a theologian. Everyone studies God. The real question, are we accurate theologians? You know, I'm thankful for the Word of God because it helps us think rightly about God. All through the Gospel of John, you see, well, five times, you see about Jesus that Jesus revealed himself in this way. And here's the truth about God. God has revealed himself to the world. That's how we can really know him. We see the revelation of God in generally through creation, that God has revealed himself through the creation that we see. But God has also revealed specific things about him that we can know about him. And when you think about the Christmas season, it's the moment that light came into the world, that revelation came to the world. And it's really fascinating to understand what God was saying, has said to the world, what God is saying to the world through this season. You know, the divine plan from the beginning included God, the creator of all that we see, coming down to earth. He came to earth. And this is a divine plan that you see all through history. from the beginning of time, really. And it's important as we look at John 1, 1 through 5 today, I want us to also consider Isaiah chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to put your fingers both in John chapter 1 and Isaiah chapter 9. And what's fascinating about these two parts of Scripture, you see an interesting revelation, an important revelation. And it's 750 years prior to Christ. Isaiah gets a vision of light coming into the world. Something from outside the world coming into the world. This is really important. And you know what I pray that we see is we this Christmas season, I pray that we think rightly about Jesus, about God. As you engage in theology, as we engage in this study of God, I pray that we think rightly. And so let's look at John chapter 1, and then we're going to flip to Isaiah chapter 9. And one of the things that I pray we see is that right beliefs about Christ lead you to the right mission for your life. Right thinking about Jesus will lead you to right living in your everyday life as a son, as a daughter, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, as a grandfather, as a grandmother, at every stage of life. Let's stand together and let's read John chapter 1. Let's look at 1 through 5. And then we'll flip over to Isaiah 9, and we'll just float over there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now flip over to Isaiah 9. We're going to look at two verses. Look at Isaiah 9, verse 2. 750 years prior to Jesus entering the world, Isaiah writes this. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. Look down at verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, Scripture reveals truths about God. And this is really important for us to understand what the Scripture says. And especially as we begin a Christmas season, as things start to look a lot like Christmas, lights are going up on people's houses, and you know, boxes are down in my living room to decorate our house, and that's the major task that my wife has informed me that I have this week, is to decorate the house. But as we begin to enter the Christmas season, as we enter it, really, today, let's think rightly about God. First thing that I want us to see, if you're taking notes, it's just right here in the text that Jesus is eternal. Jesus is eternal. Now, this is a truth that is revealed in Scripture, and for us, it is difficult for us to wrap our head around something, someone that is eternal. because there's no beginning, there's no end. And for us, as our lives, we look at a time that we were born, and we didn't exist forever. But as God allowed us to experience life, He points us to eternity. He reveals that there is an eternity awaiting all of us. The question is, where will that be? Look at verse 1 of John chapter 1. Notice this. In the beginning was the Word. See that? It's capitalized in your Bible. John is referring to Jesus here. In the very beginning, Jesus was there. He was present. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. This is this revelation of the deity of Christ. We hear that doctrine called the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's revealed right here. It's something that's outside of our human understanding, and we don't have a frame of reference. It's just there that we have to accept it. I can't explain it to you. No theologian all through history has been able to rightly explain the Trinity. It's a revelation of God. It's one of those revelations that points, that helps me understand, He's God and I'm not. And I'll be honest with you, I am comfortable in my life worshiping a creator that I don't fully understand. I just know what's revealed about Him. He's eternal. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Look at verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. Notice this. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Think about that. Nothing was made without the hand of God. I believe that every piece of technology that man discovers is a gift from God. Every piece of wisdom that man creates, and man thinks, oh, look what I made. But I think when we get to heaven and recognize what God has revealed, we will see that all knowledge has come from Him. All teaching, all things come from Him. Everything was made by Him. And this is Jesus. This is why one of the messages you've got to get from the Gospel of John is that John is revealing Jesus as the living Son of God. This is the main truth of the Gospel of John. If you want to summarize the Gospel of John to anybody in a conversation, you can say, John was written so that we would understand Jesus is living. He's living before time began. He's living as time comes to an end. In our world, as our world comes to an end, Jesus is living. This is huge. And this isn't the only place in Scripture that God opens the window and reveals the Trinity, reveals Jesus at creation, that He was there in creation. Flip over to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. This is a really important moment where you see the eternal revelation of Jesus. He says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." You see the plurality. You see that it's God the Father. Well, who is the our? Who's the plurality here? It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's revealed right here. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and every other creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You see, again, from the very beginning of time, the very beginning of creation, Jesus is there. There's another place in Scripture that this is revealed. Colossians 1, verse 15 and 16. a really important message as Paul writes to the church at Colossae, and God reveals this to him. And this is God's word revealing who he is. He says in verse 15, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That means if you want to know what God looks like, you look at Jesus. You listen to Jesus. If you want to know what God sounds like, pay attention to what Jesus has said, what he did, how he lived. He says, it's Jesus who's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You see the internal revelation. And there'll be a day that we stand before God and things will make sense. I love how C.S. Lewis articulated that when we die and go to heaven, it's going to be like, oh, I get it now. I understand now. And this is the when we get to heaven, we'll see how God's word comes together and he really is the Creator, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You see from this very beginning of John that Jesus is eternal. And folks, this has huge implications for us. But as you look at John chapter 1, you see something else. You see that the world is darker than it appears. I want you to notice this. The world we live in is darker than it appears. And you may go, wait, there's good things in the world. Yes, but I promise you the world is darker than it appears. And this is why John 1, 4, and 5 are so important, where it says, look at verse 4, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Folks, we live in a world that's darker than it appears. And this is a critical truth for us to embrace, because we're programmed to think we're okay. We're programmed to think that, oh, this is, we're good, and this is, you know, I gave money with the bell ringer guy at the store, and look at all the good that I've done. But we're programmed to think that you're okay by yourself. And you know, this is one of the biggest lies that our culture is buying. And it's difficult when we come to grips that we have a problem. But we want to think we're okay, but here's the truth. Sin is devastating, and it's dark, and it never works. Rebellion against God never works. And as I think about this, I've wrestled through, the light has come into the world, and I've thought about how mankind tries to fix their own problems, that man-made attempts to fix this world just won't work. Won't work. That our solutions, when we look at the solution is in ourself, when I have the power to fix my own problems, it doesn't work. And man-made attempts to life, you know, we live in a country where people actually think that the state and the government will fix all of our problems. It won't. We live in a culture that my retirement account will fix all my problems. We live in a world that, science will solve all your issues. The medical advancements they'll find something that will fix us. I'm memorizing right now Psalm 90. It's a psalm of Moses. That's been a minute, right? Moses? It's been a while since Moses was hanging out in the wilderness. And Moses writes this psalm, and I think it's verse 12. It merges together when the numbers merge together when I memorize a chapter. But he says, the span of a man's life is 70 or 80 if he has strength. I Googled 2023, the average lifespan for a man is 75. A woman is like 78. It's fascinating. In light of all of our medical advancements, all of our technology, all of the great things that man has produced, the lifespan has essentially been the same since Moses. Let's consider. In Psalm 90, it says, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Look, science won't fix your problems. Innovation won't fix your problems. Your intellect won't fix your problems. And here's what's so important about the Christmas story. Mankind thinks that we have the answer, but let's not miss the fact that light shone on the world. Light came to the world. Light came to you and to me. This is very important for you to recognize the world is darker than it appears. And you know what self-dependence does? Self-dependence will lead you to more darkness. And this is why I think about numbering my days. That I can say this now. We have a third grandchild on the way. I am fired up about this. In my life, Robin and I have completely lost our minds that grandkids have come into our lives. We've completely lost our minds. But boy, one of the things I pray as a grandfather, as I look at Conley and Caden, and they're not telling us the name, so we're calling him Carl right now. I don't even know if it's Carl, Carla. We can go either direction here. But I want them to see a grandfather that shows them what it's like to be dependent on the Lord. Because light shone on me. And man, I'm grateful. Verse 4, in him was life. It's in Jesus, his life. And the life was the light of men. It's in Jesus where you find life. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Because let's think about how the world is trying to stifle the message of Christ. Our guys went to France. They just got back right before Thanksgiving. And in that country, they're trying to let's squash the message of the gospel. But do you know what the people of France are discovering? That lostness doesn't work. I want you to recognize that your own solutions in your life, it doesn't work. The light has come. Look at Isaiah 9. Flip back over there and let's just look at how Isaiah articulates this. It's beautiful. The people, verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. What Isaiah is seeing, he's seeing a vision that it's out of this people of God that light is going to come to the world and it's going to shine on the world and it's going to change everything. And it's noteworthy and it's important for us to recognize that light came from outside the world. And this is critical for us because we think, oh, the light is in me. You have the light. Oh, you, it's like the Oprah mentality of, oh, you be the best you can be. No, you need Christ. You need Jesus in your life. The best me falls short. I need Christ. And there's wisdom in recognizing that you need a Savior. And look, light came from out of this world. Verse 4 of John 1, in him was life, and the light, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. This is the Christmas message. This is the Christmas story, that light has come into the world. And you know, this week, Friday, after Thanksgiving, we went hunting, and I was out in the woods, and I had this light on right here, and I had Mark go get it because I left it in my truck. I had this light on. But I leave at like 4:30 in the morning to this little place I was at, and I thought, I know the way to this deer stand. I know the way. And so I started walking. I didn't turn the light on. I thought, I know the way. You know what I did? There was one little thing in this pasture that wasn't there before. And so I thought, I need to go to the right of this. I happened to walk through this gate. It was one little gate, but I didn't have a light on. I didn't realize I walked through the wrong gate. And I go to the corner of this fence that I think this deer stands right to my left. And I'm like, I've never seen this before. I climbed a fence. I was like, I'll just climb this fence because I know it's right over here. And I keep walking and I'm like, I'm lost. And the stand is named the Pastor Chris Stand. That's what it's named. I'm like, I can't even find the Pastor Chris Stand. And I thought, dadgummit. Did it come on? Okay, my batteries worked. Sometimes they don't work. And so it came on, and I was like, this isn't right. So I go back to the path where I started, and I thought, oh, there it is. And it was fascinating. I just started going this way. But then what happened is it went that way. And you know what changed everything in my life on Friday? This little bitty light. It was dark Friday. There was a little sliver of a moon. It was beautiful. But it was really dark. And this little light of mine, it helped me. It helped me. Folks, you know what? So many people walk around like this. Is it off now? Or is it flashing? There we go. Is that right? It's off. Thanks. So many people walk around like this, and they get off track so quickly. But the light has come. The light has come into the world. And look, it's changed everything. And let's just consider this light. Look at verse 6. And honestly, if you look at even in Isaiah 9, stay here in Isaiah 9 for a second. I mean, it's not on the screen probably, but let's just, like, if you look at John, you look at Isaiah, it's so very interesting. Because, you know, John 8:12 says this, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light. And this is why I pray that you think rightly about your life. You think rightly about God. That if you follow Jesus, you won't walk in darkness. You know, flip over to Isaiah chapter 9. Look at verse 3. It's probably not on the screen, but he says this. Isaiah gets this vision that light is going to come. Light is shown. And then he says, you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. He's talking about the children of Israel. God, you've blessed this nation. You've given them this joy. And what have they known? They've known God's presence all through their history. The children of Israel have known the presence of God. And it was out of them that the Savior would come, that the light would shine on the whole world. This is what Christ has done. Even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of the difficulty of God's people, they have the greatest celebrations because God has shone on them. Look at verse 3. It continues, they rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. They were glad when they divide the spoil for the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder. They've learned the joy of following the Lord. And we've come to recognize this. Like in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, heavy burdened. He says, come to me. In Matthew 11, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's why Isaiah writes, look at verse 4, the rod of his oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian. Notice this, that God has worked through the children of Israel. Isaiah gets this vision. For every boot of the tramping warrior in a battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. He's like, look, God will fight for you. The imagery here is that Jesus, that God will overcome all evil, and that's what he did in Jesus. We won't need weapons of war. We won't need to physically fight somebody because God fights for us. God protects us. And then look at verse 6. And he says this, Isaiah, 750 years before Jesus comes, says, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And we've seen this all through history. That God has strategically used governments like pawns in his hand. And this has been true through Egypt, through Babylon, through the Assyrians, through all history. And look, even ungodly governments today, you see God at work in every nation. And his name, it says, look at verse 6. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hey, look. God is using the Gospel of John, and he's used it all year to help us recognize that right now, Jesus is the living Son of God. He sees you. He gets you. He calls you. He's helping you think rightly about him, about your life, about the world. And what does he say? Look at this. Let's just think about this. When Jesus came down to earth, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. When Jesus came down to earth, his name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor. Let's just consider. There's waiting lists for counseling today. But it's Jesus who's called the Wonderful Counselor. I'm not knocking counseling. I've been to counseling. That was humbling as a pastor to recognize I needed someone outside of me, a Christian counselor, to speak into me. Helped me greatly. But let's not miss the fact that it's Jesus that's the Wonderful Counselor. When you think about his human experience, he was born into this world, and that shows that, you know, he understands us. He walked the human road. He was actually born into poverty. He knew what it was like to have nothing. He knew what it was like to be well-resourced. Jesus' ministry was well-resourced. I know the scripture says he had no place to lay his head, but there were women who were funding the ministry of Jesus. And there's a reason that Jesus needed a money counter. Because they were well funded. Jesus knew what it was like to be in need. He knew what it was like to have plenty. Jesus struggled with family. His brothers struggled with him. He can relate to you. He grew up, like Luke 2:52 said, he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He faced injustice. He suffered pain and loss. He dealt with stress and pressure. He dealt with success. He dealt with failures. Things that Judas betrayed him. But his counsel is right. Following him is right. Psalm 19 is one of my favorite psalms that just gives some insight into the counsel of God. I just made a list of what the counsel of God brings to you. If you paid attention to his counsel, he will revive your soul. He will make you wise. He will lead you to purity. He will enlighten your eyes. He will bring certainty to you. He endures forever. Always think about that. He endures forever. He stands as truth. It's the counsel of God that provides the right warnings for you. It produces the greatest rewards for you. Oh, this is why I don't want you to miss the adventure of knowing Jesus, following him. He's the wonderful counselor. Listen to his counsel. Look what he says. He's the mighty God. Let's think about how mighty he is. I mean, it's fascinating that he, Philippians 2 says, he emptied himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. You know, Wes Vito is about to go to heaven. He was at his house last night. And I started quoting scripture over him and just talking about, hey, here's the promises of God, Wes. And you know, he smiled as we talked about the mightiness of God. Folks, let me tell you something. God is mighty to save you. He's mighty to keep every promise to you. And if he is with you, who can be against you? Oh my goodness, understand how mighty he is. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father, Isaiah says. Because of Christ, there's no more fear in death. There's no more fear in this life. He's the everlasting Father. He's going to outlast every trial, every difficulty. And it's like what we have learned in the Gospel of John, that if you give it enough time, every promise that God has made will come true. You mark my words. You know why? Because my words are not mine. They're God's word to us. He's the everlasting Father. Notice this, he's the Prince of Peace. Have you come to know the peace of Christ? Have you come to know that this divine light doesn't come from you? You know, you need a Savior. And coming to the recognition that Christ came to save, that light has come into the world and it's shone upon us to help you understand the way to live your life. No. For unto us, verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Look at verse 7. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And notice what he says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. I won't do it. You won't do it. The zeal of God, the determination of God, the plan of God will do this. And the main message of Christmas, as we begin this Christmas season, light has come. And this changes everything. And I think about this in my life. I think about how he was pierced for my transgressions. It's Jesus that was crushed for my iniquities. The punishment that brings me peace was on him. And it's by the wounds of Jesus that we have been healed. So this Christmas season, I pray that we come to really understand that light came to us. And my prayer for you is that you stop walking around the world in darkness. And you come to Jesus. And you recognize that you could live with direction and purpose and hope. Now this Christmas season, what I want us to do, our response today, is I want us to learn a song. So Nathan, I want you to come up. Now, maybe you need to pray with somebody. We have a prayer team that's going to be around the room, and you can go to them. In fact, our prayer team, I want you to just go around the room right now. Would you just go stand around the room? And as they just get in their places, maybe you need somebody to pray for you. But today, all of us need to respond. And I'm grateful for these people in the world that write songs that we go, yeah. Now, this is a new song for you. We can learn a new Christmas song, right? It's called a Christmas hymn. And in this whole Christmas season, it's something I want to put on my heart, on your heart. And I want us to learn it together. So I want you to stand with us right now. And Nathan is going to teach it to us. And eventually you'll get it. But I want us to just reflectively turn to the Lord and begin this, like this whole calling to rejoice. To rejoice. The light has come to us. Let's not miss that. Lord Jesus, today we need you. We need you. And I pray that this Christmas we would think rightly. That we would be theologians that think rightly about you, about our lives, about the world. Father, you have come to us. And I pray this would shape where we live, where we work, where we shop, where we play. Lord, use us this Christmas. Speak to us this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.